Well, hello out there, faithful listeners and others brave enough to turn on your virtual listening device and hear a program starring yours truly, Adam L., and co-starring my distinguished guest of presidentology, professorism, and otherwise interesting tidbits of information, gossip, humor, and everything in between, Dr. Ron Feinman, as we get ready to welcome in the official winter month, at least here in the Midwest, but where he is in Florida, it's pretty much spring or summer every day. So how's holiday season treating you so far, Ron?
Well, everything's going well, and there's always more exciting news going on. There's always something to comment on.
That's for sure. Just when you think you run out of tidbits and topics, something else comes along to, let's say, tickle your fancy or rattle a funny bone or nerve or two. So we wish everybody out there a happy Christmas Kwanzaa kiss or whatever it is that you celebrate. Is there many holidays floating around, and so whichever ones you celebrate, or in my case, I don't really celebrate any of them, I hope you have a happy one. And if you want to send me a gift, that's fine. Just drop it off at the station with a little bow, and I will thank you from the bottom of my heart. So,
yeah, well, one thing is, in a few days, I will be reaching a new birthday.
Yes, new birthday coming up for Ron. He'll be 50,
on the 17th, yes.
50 once again. Good age.
Yeah. Well, I always joke that I'm 49, even though I have a 43-year-old son.
Ron publishes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read daily, as I do. Just take you about 1 or 2 minutes to peruse, and you might get aggravated by the opinions. You might learn something, or you might say, well, this Feinman guy is a fine man, an intelligent one who always increases my brain cell count after reading one of his articles. You had several strong opinions, Ron, in the last few days in your blog. Of course, that's not really uncommon in today's rather divided political climate. And, you know, Donald Trump, love him or you hate him, or in my case, you think he's a bit of a nutcase, but is he maybe? But how does he compare to previous and current presidents and politicians? Well, I guess that's something we can discuss ad nauseum, which we kind of do on this program.
I've told many people that I always thought Richard Nixon was the worst president we ever had, while not always being horrible, because he actually did some good things, but overall, he's the most evil president. But now Nixon's a choir boy by comparison, and he did have a lot of accomplishments, too. Yeah. It definitely is true in my mind that Donald Trump is the absolutely worst president we've ever had in his character and in his policies, in most cases, not everything, and just generally a miserable human being, if you want to call him that.
Well, he certainly is a character. I think we can all agree on that one. A colorful dude with a lovely wife who speaks multiple languages. And Donald Trump, he speaks the language of I say what's on my mind. And if I do irritate a few people, well, I guess that's all part of the fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I wanted to mention, because you brought about his lovely wife. His lovely wife, I don't think, is as lovely as you think. But beyond that, I looked up because of Ted Cruz's family crisis with his daughter, which she doesn't want to talk about, but obviously she doesn't like her dad very much. I looked up and I saw a picture of his wife, and I'm saying, and Donald Trump said she was ugly? She's not ugly at all. She's very attractive, and I think more attractive than Melania, to be honest. So I think he has eye problems, too, Donald Trump. But he calls a lot of people ugly that are not ugly. But I really said Mrs. Cruz is not ugly at all. But I think her husband is ugly as a human being.
Yeah, and of course, Marco Rubio, not the most gorgeous person out there with those tremendous ears, but his wife, a former cheerleader, and she's quite easy on the eyes. So
yes,
sometimes you kind of wonder.
I think Mrs. Cruz also is, really.
They were saying that about Christie Brinkley and Elle McPherson and Billy Joel. You know, despite all of his talent, Billy Joel really isn't the best-looking guy out there, and he dates or marries all these gorgeous women. So, you know, it's in the eyes of the beholder, or some people say beauty is the eye.
Well, if you're famous, you don't have to be good-looking necessarily to get women, I guess.
Yeah, beauty is in the eyes of the beer holder or the beholder.
It's always true, yeah.
Depending. So I have a program on this station, WWGH, Monday between about 9:15 a.m. Eastern Time and 10, and also Wednesday and Thursday following Linda between about 12:15 p.m. and 1. Sometimes we repeat this program or play a previous episode, or sometimes we just do something else. You never know, so we certainly suggest that you tune in, and, you know, that is certainly the best way to find out. So, Ron, in your blog over the last several days, again, several strong opinions and things that we want people to ponder. I had mentioned to you some more topics. One that I found especially disturbing is, I guess, Kanye West believes that everybody, especially Jewish people, anybody else who was a victim, to put it mildly, of the Adolf Hitler regime in Germany, that Hitler should be forgiven. So you probably saw that, Ron. What do you think about that?
It's unprincipled what I think about it. It's unbelievable. And, of course, Nick Fuentes getting a chance to be at Mar-a-Lago with Trump is outrageous. And I really think he's a person. I imagine the FBI is tracking him. He's 24. I think he's a domestic terrorist by what he promotes. And I'm sure he's involved in planning something. And, of course, I can't arrest them for what they say. I understand that. But honestly, I'm assuming he's being tracked because he scares me. He really does. And so does Kanye West. But I say this young man more than that. But what gets me is he's a white supremacist and he associates with Kanye West, who is African-American. And of course, Donald Trump, you know, has no excuse for having had them for dinner, you know, even Kanye West, let alone Nick Fuentes. And then he goes in and talks about suspending the Constitution. And that still doesn't get all Republicans to come out and condemn him, only a small number. And that's what motivated me to write on Saturday what I wrote, beyond everything else, because the party has gone berserk, except for a small number like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Larry Hogan, people like that are responsible conservatives, and those are the kind of people who need to lead the Republican Party if it's going to survive. But right now, I don't see it happening. There's no guts, no courage, no principle on the part of most Republicans in Congress and in the states.
Yeah, Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, that is an odd couple. I don't understand it myself. And one thing also,
Fuentes, I don't know how anybody 24 could have that much hate as Nick Fuentes has. It makes no sense. The man is mentally deranged. But again, you can't arrest him for what he says. I understand. But he's got to be tracked, because I think he's going to cause trouble and he needs to then be incarcerated if he does, or he's shown to be involved in planning, attacks or anything. Because for Jews and even others, even for other people who are minorities, he's really a threat. And he's not somebody he's just a kid. He's a young man, but he's mentally disturbed, and there's something wrong about his whole life and background. I'd like to have that investigated. I imagine some newspaper will investigate his whole background.
I mean, free speech is one thing. We're in favor of that. Certainly, that's one thing that America is made of and built upon. One thing that people of other countries admire and maybe are jealous of. But saying things that are dangerous, that's something else. There is a line that is drawn. But yeah, Kanye West, Ron, and Nick Fuentes, that is definitely an odd couple. And yeah, not an odd couple in a good way or comedic way. And
but David Duke is cheering, of course, the old KKK guy who caused trouble decades ago and who knew Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump said he didn't know who he was. But he lies all the time anyway. Like, he probably would say he didn't know, Nick Fuentes. He may not have known, but now he knows, but he doesn't go and condemn him. So that says a lot. And a lot of these people in the party are not willing to speak up and really condemn that whole issue. A few did, but most did not. And that's a bad sign for the future of the Republican Party.
It would seem like Donald Trump having any association with those two people is not going to help his chances of continuing being in public office, maybe being elected president in 2024.
He's in free fall, frankly, with the events of recent days and weeks. He's had a horrible 3 weeks. I think he's losing more support. He still has about 30% of the country, but you can't be elected with 30% of the country. But I think it's starting to deteriorate, and it's about time. And the party leaders, including Kevin McCarthy, need to speak up, but he's not going to, because he's going to have trouble being named speaker, and he may not become the speaker. And it could be anybody, possibly someone worse, like Jim Jordan of your area in Ohio. Can you imagine him as speaker if that happens?
I mean, you want to hear all viewpoints, but a line should be drawn. And that's one thing that's come to mind. Mike Pence has certainly spoken with great disapproval of Donald Trump's meeting, little dinner party with Nick Fuentes. And, you know, Mike Pence, we may not agree with all of his conservative views, but I mean, he's an attorney. He's in his 60s. I mean, a good age. He's from Indiana. Obviously a very smart man. So I think he understands the politics and knows when Donald Trump is making a boo-boo, to put it mildly. And I admire him for speaking up. If Donald Trump were to get the nomination, Ron, obviously Mike Pence wouldn't be his running mate. Those two have definitely become like oil and water. Who do you think he might pick? Would it be someone a little more centrist? We bring up Nikki Haley, of course. She comes
if
up.
If Trump is the nominee, oh my God!
Or would it be?
Well, probably. I hate to say someone like a Carrie Lake, that maniac in Arizona who refuses to, you know, to accept defeat. Who's really a lunatic, but she's very attractive, and she was a TV news person in Phoenix. Or maybe even a Marjorie Taylor Greene. He'll go for somebody that makes Mike Pence look like a genius, which I don't think he is. But honestly, if that happens, I would hope that most Republicans would not vote for him, and especially the leaders, but they probably would. They care more about the party than they do about the country. That's what's disturbing. Nobody, whether Republican or Democrat, should put party ahead of country. And yet, that's what we're seeing in the Republican Party, in Congress, and in many state governments.
Shouldn't he pick someone more moderate, like Nikki Haley, but Ben Sasse? Even Jeb Bush. I mean,
well, Ben Sasse now is going to be the president of the University of Florida. You know, he's giving up his Senate seat. He's been picked, although the people at the University of Florida, the students are not happy with him, but he's been chosen, so he's going to resign next month, and there'll be a new senator there. Probably the former governor, Peter Ricketts, leaving, will probably be appointed, they think, for a temporary 2 years. I'll be honest, if anybody in theory picked a Ben Sasse to be a running mate, that would be great. And what's funny about it is you would say, oh, he's done with politics. Now he's UF president. And then I said, no, Woodrow Wilson was president of Princeton, and then he ran for president. So he could theoretically, not saying it's going to happen, be there for the next 2 years and then suddenly become the nominee for VP and agree to do it. He could. He could go back, because it's still a nice credential to have. The only thing is, UF is paying, I understand, $1.5 million a year. So I'm not sure I'd give that up to be VP or anything like that, because that's some check every month, every year,
I think Ben Sasse would accept the VP nomination, though, if offered. Certainly a big salary
cut. Maybe he would. I actually thought he was going to still stay around and maybe run for president, but he's not doing that. But he could become, in theory, the next Woodrow Wilson. He has a PhD in history, as Woodrow Wilson had in political science. There'll certainly be comparisons that could be made if he ever decided to get back into politics.
Yeah, we bring up Nikki Haley a lot. Do you think she and Donald could kiss and make up, or is that, because again, she is young and attractive, fairly moderate. Is there any hope for her? Do you think she's kind of ruined her for the time being?
I think that Trump and Pence will never be able to cooperate together. I don't even know if Pence would even support him. I don't know what would happen. I would hope he wouldn't, but I don't think he's going to be the nominee anyway, Trump. I think he's just self-destructed, so he would not be the nominee, and I think he may even at some point drop out.
I brought up Nikki Haley. Do you think there's any future for her? I mean, young and attractive,
Nikki
and
Haley,
smart,
oh God,
and fairly moderate.
Nikki Haley, I agree. She's nice to look at, but to me, she's shown she's totally unprincipled. And yes, she's an attractive candidate. She might even run for president. As far as her running with him, I don't know. I don't think so, but some of these people have no courage and no principles, so I don't know. I can't even imagine that she would run with him. But she could very well be one of many that announces for president. We'll probably have about 20 people running. It's not unusual now.
Yeah, bottom line
and
is,
if Joe Biden decides not to run, which I think he may decide not to run, then, oh, my God, we'll have another 20 Democrats running.
It seems like every presidential election gets more fascinating and more crazy. Than
oh, so it's interesting. I've got plenty of stuff to write about. And, you know, I can do things on History News Network as well. And I wanted to mention, I assume you were going to pick up about Kyrsten Sinema.
Oh, certainly. Go ahead and talk about Kyrsten.
Okay, well, you know, think about Kyrsten Sinema. Tell me what happened. On Friday, I heard about 6:30 in the morning about that she's becoming an independent. And I didn't have much to do on Friday that I had to do, thank goodness. And I said, oh, my gosh, she's one of those small number of people who are independents. Wow. And I said, I got to do research and write an article for History News Network. And it hasn't been accepted yet, but I'm sure it will. And I wrote this article. It turns out to be since the 17th Amendment, which is direct popular vote for U.S. Senate, 1913. That's when you really consider it people voting. There's been now 11 people who have become independents at some point and were significant enough to be talked about. There's a few who were short-term, independents, but they're not significant. But I came across 10-plus Sinema. So the first three I'm just going to mention are Henrik Schibsted of Minnesota in the 1920s and 30s, and the second is Robert La Follette Jr. of Wisconsin. And the third is George Norris of Nebraska. And those three happen to be three of my progressive senators who were in my original book from 40 years ago, Twilight of Progressivism, the Western Republican Senators in the New Deal. So I brought in my book, and you know, I mentioned my book in the article, and I'm talking about all these three that stood out in the period of the 1920s, 30s, and early 40s. Then I added Wayne Morse of Oregon, who switched around and had been an independent, Harry Byrd of Virginia, Harry Byrd Jr., that is, of Virginia, then James Buckley of New York, the brother of William F. Buckley Jr., the famous conservative commentator, was a one-term conservative, capital C, in New York State, and then Jim Jeffords of Vermont, who changed the organization of the Senate in 2001 when he went from Republican to independent. He made it a Democratic Senate at that point. And then Bernie Sanders is one, and Angus King is one, and Joe Lieberman. Those are the 10. And then comes Sinema now. And what's interesting is I was looking up about these people, and I came across James Buckley again, the brother of William F. Buckley Jr., who was the older brother of William F. Buckley Jr., one term in the Senate from New York. And I discovered he's still alive, and he's going to be 100 years old on March 9th, 2023. Can you imagine that?
100. That's certainly a milestone.
And then I said, how many have been older than that? And I did the research to discover that only three U.S. senators have hit 100 in office. Now, he will if he makes it to March 9th. But only one of those three is well known, and that's Strom Thurmond of South Carolina, who left the Senate at 100 and died 6 months later. And then there was one senator who was an appointee temporarily just for 23 days at some point in the past, not really in office long, but still a senator, and he was a bit past 100. And then there was the one who's the old-time champion, a guy in the 1860s and 70s, Cornelius Cole, C-O-L-E, who hit 102 and a little bit. So I'm thinking, I'm rooting for Buckley to get past Cornelius Cole, or at least past Strom Thurmond of this short-term senator. He might, if he lives another 2+ years, he could actually be the all-time oldest, as far as longevity of life, of any senator. It's just fascinating trivia.
Yeah, I look at celebrities also that have reached 100. Betty White passing away just before 100. George Burns made it to 100, although he was in declining health. And Janice Page, a beautiful actress, a multiply talented person. She's 100, and as far as I know, doing fairly well.
Yes.
So that's a big milestone.
And of course, in the past, Olivia de Havilland made it past 100.
We mourn the loss of
Olivia de Havilland from Gone with the Wind.
Of a beautiful actress.
And of course, also George Burns did, made it to 100. Bob Hope made it to 100. But for the Senate, there's only three who have hit 100, but he will be the fourth. And if he can make it through at least the rest of the to 101, it'll only be one person, Cornelius Cole, who was 102 in about a month. So that's going to be a bit of a stretch, but he might pass Strom Thurmond in about a year from now. It's just funny because it's trivia, but I said, wow, what a story that he's going to be 103 months, you know?
Yeah, milestone birthdays, always a fascinating topic. We also mourn the recent death of Kirstie Alley, beautiful, talented actress, gone much too soon. Kind of look back, Ron, at celebrity ages, politician ages, and who we've lost over the last the last 11 and a half months in this year of 2022 that is almost about ready to turn over into 2023. And we thank, you know, every day, the blessing that we wake up and we can go about our day.
Yes.
And
I certainly do at my stage. I wake up saying, I'm still here. Yep. And I want to mention another person who's quite significant, although often not paid attention to, was former Secretary of State and Treasury George P. Schultz, who served under Republican presidents. He hit 100, and then about a few months later passed away. And I think it was this year or maybe the year before, but he hit 100 also. So there are, and Henry Kissinger is going to be 100 next May. If he makes it.
Yeah, Henry Kissinger.
So we have Henry Kissinger and James Buckley that'll hit 100 in the early months of next year.
Those are some people, not only who've really made their mark on history, but people I'd like to hear Scott Spears interview, as I've, of course, challenged him to interview man I call Chucky Baby, King Charles.
But jokingly, if Scott Spears could get in touch with James Buckley, who's going to hit 100, and he was this brother of William F. Buckley Jr., who's more famous, and of course James Buckley was the senator, that'd be quite a scoop if you could get him.
Yeah,
if he's able I don't know his health left. I don't know his health, of course. But I'm saying if there's a possibility, you should probably try to check on that, because that's a 100-year-old senator in March.
Yeah, well, nothing surprises me with Scott anymore. You know, I've challenged him to interview Chucky Baby or King Charles. So let's see if he can pull that one off.
Also, Henry Kissinger. Has he ever interviewed Henry Kissinger?
I don't think he's ever talked to Henry Kissinger. Wouldn't that be a great interview?
Yeah, but one thing I would give a warning. If he ever gets to talk, and he's still fine. I've seen him recently. He's still fine. If you were to interview him, do not mention a five-letter word, Chile, because he will hang up or walk away. He doesn't want to be asked about the loss of democracy on September 11th, 1973, when the Chilean president was overthrown and assassinated. And, of course, he and Nixon were blamed for that. And he just is very touchy. You can't discuss Chile. So if he was going to have an interview, he's got to avoid that.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Scott Spears to ask something like that, something requiring, as you say, Ron Cohen.
He might very well hang up on him at that point. That's the point.
I know when he talked to Bill Cosby, they had agreed, because it was arranged through Bill Cosby's friend and lawyer, who's been on with Scott many times, not to talk about, you know, the controversial thing in Bill Cosby's life, just talk about other stuff.
For some reason, it bothers him more than anything else, because he's been called a war criminal by some observers. Kissinger for that. Of course, nobody likes to have that. So he gets very testy about that. I've heard it where he said, if you're going to continue that line of questioning, I'm out of here. So the guy drops it, or the woman, you know. So, I mean, you have to be careful with him. But he's still very lucid, so he'd be a great interview as long as you're careful how you ask things, you know.
I think Scott should interview Dr. Fauci and have me in the studio, too, to do a counterpoint. Now, wouldn't that be fun, Ron?
Yes, it would. Well, I tell you, you should at least mention to him what I'm saying about James Buckley and about Henry Kissinger. They're both going to be 100, even if we don't wait until March and May. But I think they're people he should try to interview.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Scott.
Mention to him that I recommended it, that he at least try to get in touch with Buckley if he's healthy, and Kissinger certainly is, from what I gather.
Yeah. One day I'm going to turn on the Scott Spears show. I'm going to hear a gentleman with a British accent and say, goodness sakes, King Charles is on the air with Scott Spears.
Well, that I think would be much harder, I think, because, although maybe not. Has he ever interviewed any of the royal family?
I don't think so. I don't think they're supposed to be on the radio, but, you know, I know King Charles has signed autographs and done things they're not supposed to do. And he's going to loosen things up a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit, Ron. Nothing surprises me about Scott Spears. I can't believe he got Bill Cosby on. I mean,
when was that? Recent, this past year?
Yeah, last year, I believe.
Oh, and what about Harry and Meghan? How about that?
that would be minor compared to Chucky Baby. So who knows?
But still, it would be interesting if we could get Harry and or Meghan on.
That would be fun. But yeah, I think the most comical interview would be Dr. Fauci with, of course, me in the studio also. That would be fun.
Yes.
And I wouldn't put it past Scott to do that one either. But, you know, we'll see. I think he surprises even himself. Adam here speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on WWGH Radio about his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, about Donald Trump and assorted characters that Donald associates with, about people reaching the 100-year old milestone celebrities, politicians, and, you know, Jimmy Carter, he's getting ready to turn 100.
98 and 3 months almost now, yep.
So, or BR. We've never had
an interview, has he, by Scott?
Yeah, he's our oldest president and former president. Never had a president reach the triple-digit mark, and, you know, I wouldn't put it past Jimmy Carter. He might outlive all of us.
October of 2024 he has to live. October 1. But anyway, he's never interviewed Jimmy Carter.
Don't believe so.
Ask him about that too. I'm giving him a list.
I'll talk to Scott about the list. You know, he's already been challenged by me to interview King Charles, and I get the feeling he's probably working on it.
That'd probably be harder, but I think Buckley and Kissinger and Carter. That would be something.
That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So,
and interestingly, it's a mixed bag politically. One is a conservative, one is just a Republican Kissinger, and one's a Democrat. So you even got balance there.
Yeah, and Carter, a very moderate Democrat for sure.
Yes.
We talked a little last time about the retirement of the lady I call Fancy Nancy, Nancy Pelosi, first female speaker of the House. Is she the oldest speaker at this point? Has there ever been a speaker as old as she is? You would know that, right?
I don't think Rayburn was in his 80s. And O'Neill, I have to look it up. I'm not sure, but I don't think they were 80. Right. They were in their 70s, I think, at the end. Yes, but not 80. Well, look, now we have the octogenarian takeover. We've had so many, including Mitch McConnell, who's going to be 81 in February. He's older than Joe Biden. So we have, and of course, the ones who were the octogenarians in the House now have given up control to a younger generation. They're still there, but they're not running the show, which I think is a good step.
So you've called her the greatest speaker in modern history. Why do you feel that way? Better than Tip O'Neill?
Because she accomplished which Congress is? I can't think of the number now. In the 2009-10, it was the most productive, as far as legislation, Congress since the Great Society. And the last 2 years was the most productive since then. You know, people say Biden wasn't successful. He had a rough start, but in the last 6 months, so much occurred with a 50-50 Senate and only a small margin of the House. And so she got things accomplished. And Republicans never got things accomplished. All they did was be negative, you know, like Boehner and Ryan and further back. They're always looking to stop things, not to promote change. So just like I would say Tip O'Neill earlier was the best speaker of recent times in the 70s and 80s and worked with Reagan very well. And then further back, of course, Sam Rayburn. And it's not because only I say. I think anybody who's an expert on the House would say you can rank them any way you want. I'm not saying she's number one, but she's one of the top three. But since the 70s and 80s, I think easily the best, because the ones in between are all, I think, quite mediocre.
Yeah, I'm certainly outspoken, you know, controversial.
Yes.
So the first and so far only female speaker of the House, and we believe she's also the oldest. So two milestones there for Fancy Nancy, and we'll see.
She's 82 now, yeah. And I'll tell you, she certainly has her marbles, whether you agree with her or not. She knows what she's saying. She's not like she's feeble. It's nice to see people in their 80s who are not feeble.
Yeah, I would say, like Mitch McConnell, I mean, like him or hate him, they are definitely spry for people that are past.
And he's 81 now coming up, yeah?
Yeah, 80-year mark. So we wish to.
Yeah, and by the way, that was an interesting election to be the minority leader. You know, McConnell was challenged by Florida Senator Rick Scott, who I think makes Mitch McConnell look great in my mind. I'm not a fan of McConnell, but Scott is horrible. He's also a Medicare fraudulent guy. He should have gone to prison for the biggest Medicare fraud in American history, but he paid a fine and he got elected governor and then senator. And he was fighting to try to become minority leader, and he only got 10 votes of the Republican, of the 48 or 49, so he got really repudiated. And now they're investigating why the funding for the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, which he headed, seemed not to have worked at all. The Republicans did not accomplish what they wanted to accomplish. Especially in Georgia, of course, but even otherwise. And I understand that the money being sent to Walker, they only gave 1 cent for each dollar to the campaign, and the rest, where did it go? I have a feeling there's corruption. They're investigating it, the Republicans, because I think Scott's a crook based on his past record of that. And I think he could be in real trouble if they find something on him, which they seem to be wanting to do. There's a real split in the Republican Senate coalition.
So the Warnock and Walker race, Herschel Walker,
yes,
hung up his football cleats and he's going to hang up his tie because he's not going to be in the U.S. Congress. Looks like Warnock, Georgia Democrat, is victorious.
Yes. Now, imagine Georgia has two Democratic senators. Can you believe this? And Arizona has all the state officials now are Democrats. They weren't. And this, and also in Michigan, they gained control of the legislature, both houses, for the first time in 40 years, and all the state leaders are Democrats. And also in Pennsylvania, the same. So, I mean, this is, as I wrote one day this week, Florida and Texas matter, of course, but they're being replaced for the Democrats by these other states, which are enough to win the presidency with, you know, along with, you know, along the Pacific Coast and the New England states and the Middle Atlantic and Illinois also. You know, so I'm saying that Florida and Texas have a lot of electoral votes, but they're not enough. And these other states are now swinging toward the blue side, or purple at least, which is a good sign in my mind.
There has been some controversy already with Mr. Warnock, who's also a minister, as we know.
Yeah, but some people, I can't actually imagine it. Some people think he could be a presidential candidate in 2028, I suppose, although he'd have to, if he ran, he would not be able to keep his Senate seat. And he couldn't run for both, I mean, unless they allowed it in Georgia. I don't see that. But, you know, he is the pastor of the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where Martin Luther King was. And he has a good reputation, so anything could happen. We could have African Americans, Jews, gay people, all running for president in the future. There's a real bench for the Democratic Party, along with women. I mean, they definitely, it's a younger generation coming along. So the question is, should it be in 2028, or should it be now, with Joe Biden saying, like James K. Polk, one term is enough?
Recently, Ron, he was apparently on the readout with Joy Reid on MSNBC. This was early the past week, Monday, the 5th, I believe. And I guess he said, I get a lot of pushback from people who seem to think that they own the interpretation of the gospel. I've been studying the scriptures my whole life. I'm committed to the faith, and as a pastor, I have a profound reverence for life. As a pastor and a person of faith, I have a deep respect for choice. Then, of course, the big A topic came up, abortion, and Joy Reid said, it's what Jesus would do. And then Warnock said, I think it's exactly what Jesus would do. And that brought, not surprisingly, a flurry of comments indicating that that comment was out of place. My perspective is, it's very unbecoming. It's unbecoming to people like myself who are very pro-choice. I don't, of course, know what Jesus would do, but it seems to trivialize the issue to me, is that abortion is never an easy decision. We're not in favor of abortion per se. We're in favor of a woman's right to control her own body. And unless it's a rape, abortion is not the right thing to do, but it's not our business to tell a woman that it's illegal.
Well, I think the viewpoint on abortion, I prefer fewer abortions. I'm not promoting it. But it is not the business of government or any religious leader to tell a woman what to do with her body. That's the way I look at it. And a lot of times, it does affect the health of the woman. It can even cause her death. And to me, when I hear people say, good Christians, that's bold, because good Christians are very narrow-minded, intolerant, and prejudicial. We see it with these evangelical Christians and these Orthodox Jews that are extremists in their views, and they claim they're following either Moses or Jesus. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. And, you know, they have a right to their view, but they don't have a right to impose their view on all of us.
Yeah, but saying that it's what Jesus would do, it's exactly what Jesus would do, I don't
well,
like
Jesus-
that.
He's always been said would have been a liberal. I think he would have been. He would not have been a conservative like these mega church pastors in the South. Definitely would not, because all they do is get money from people that have massive planes and you know, and also fancy cars and big houses. That's not being a good Christian. That's not following Jesus. He certainly was not. So they're distorting Jesus, but a lot of gullible people are following them.
Yeah, I just don't like that comment that Warnock made, and I'm wondering, is he going to inject religion into a lot of what he says? I mean, look at him versus Martin Luther King. We know Martin Luther King was a minister, you know, very smart, educated man. It seemed like he spoke for all people, and I've come to realize that more and more. The religion part to me really took second fiddle to his fight, his wish that we would be treated as humans regardless of differences in our race, gender, and other things. And I Like to see
it concerns me, by the way, that we have these people who want to use religion to discriminate against people because they're black or they're gay or they're Jewish in these different cases coming up before the court. And I'm sorry, religion should not be a factor. If you're dealing with people in the public, so-called commerce, you should not be able to discriminate against people if I had my way. But I'm not on the Supreme Court. But the majority on the court are very right-wing, and it looks like they're going to promote more and more what I call theocracy control over the country. And I don't like that, whether it's Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Buddhist, or whatever.
You know, speaking of the UK and King Charles, one reason why we separated from the UK, had the Revolutionary War, was separation of church and state. You can be whatever religion you want, Christian, Jewish, Islam, or no religion, or a combination of religions, or invent your own religion. So I think some people in government, Democrats and Republicans, and, you know, speaking about Warnock, need to keep that in mind. And it's going to alienate some people, and we'll see how that affects his tenure as a U.S. politician. Maybe we're over-dramatizing. Who knows? Do you think Herschel Walker is done, Ron? Might he run for governor or something else? Or?
Well, he's not going to run for office again. He made a fool of himself, and the guy can't talk. I mean, as I've said before, I don't like Ted Cruz. I don't like Rand Paul and people like that. But at least they make sense. I might not agree with them, but they're intelligent. They can speak, and they can. How could a person like this be in the Senate when he doesn't even know what he's saying and he talks about crazy things? I mean, he's not competent. He never should have been allowed to run because he's basically mentally damaged, I guess, from football, probably.
Well, don't we say the same thing about Donny Baby? And look what happened to him. He became president.
Well, but he didn't get hit by a football. Okay, that's exactly. Well, I honestly don't think Trump is competent now at this point anymore, but he certainly had the ability. But Herschel Walker was not a person who ever should have run for public office, you know. So, and he was used by Trump, basically, only because he had been on his U.S. Football League, you know, one of the teams there that he controlled 40 years ago, you know, Trump. So, but Herschel Walker was an embarrassment, and, you know, and actually the victory this time was somewhat higher, not much, but somewhat higher than the first time 2 years ago when when Warnock won the runoff. He's actually won four times. He was first four times. He had to keep on running because he had the 50% requirement. So he's had a lot of campaign experience. And I guess if he wanted to run, he could be a candidate. I don't see him as being the nominee, but anybody could run. So, yes, he might very well in the future run.
Adam here
on a lot of other
talking
people
place.
Are very qualified, too. And actually, looking at African American, I'm more impressed by this new governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, who's in his 40s. I'm really impressed by him a lot. So he has to have time in office, but I really think he's someone to watch. And Maryland also gave us Larry Hogan, the outgoing Republican, who I think is one of the best few remaining Republicans who should be thought of for president. He's a conservative. He was a Reagan supporter. But he repudiated Trump, and he's had a decent record. And my son, David, lives in Maryland and said he did a good job. So I don't agree with him on every issue, but at least he's competent. If he gets elected, I can live with it without being upset.
Late last week, Ron, you wrote a pretty strong entry about Republican Party. Not a positive entry at all, saying that there are some Republicans that you and your son, who's also quite liberal, you like them as people. You may not agree with everything, but you can see where they're coming from, at least, that they don't seem like, out of lack of a better term, whack jobs, because a lot of people in office are whack jobs, and that's people from the left and from the right. I don't discriminate. There's whack jobs all over the place, probably a few too many. But you wrote, Ron, the Republican Party has gone fully racist, nativist, misogynistic, homophobic, and willing to ignore anti-Semitism in its midst. Those are pretty strong words, you know.
I think you just look at the record of what they've said and how they react on these issues. I think it definitely is the case. And anti-Semitism is certainly becoming a growing issue, not quite as much as the others, but still enough so. And we don't have people reacting to people like Dick Fuentes and Kanye West like they should. And they wink at it. You know, they're pro-Israel, but they don't seem to realize that that's not the whole story. You got to also care about people in America who are Jewish who are now facing constant threats and needing more security, operations around synagogues and Jewish community centers and places like that.
One thing I'll say, Ron, it seems like the Democratic Party supports the concept of biological men who identify as women playing women's competitive sports. To me, that is one of the most sexist, and I don't like the term homophobic, I prefer anti-gay, but whichever term you use, one of the most anti-gay and misogynistic things ever, that it totally destroys women's rights and anything that involves fair competition.
Well, I think it's a problem in sports. I don't think there's any question, and I don't really approve of it. But certainly, I don't think people with transgender in general should face discrimination as they do even in schools now. That's not right. I'm not talking about the sports aspect. I'm talking about there are people like that. I don't fully understand why people are that way, but I still respect the fact that people have different ways of looking at life. And, you know, but the sports problem is a big problem.
And I find that to be highly sexist. Yes. That destroys the whole concept of fair competition. It's also demeaning to gay people, so I find it to be very anti-gay. It insults me as an American, and that's a Democratic Party philosophy. Of course, not all Democrats believe that.
Well, it's an extension of the idea of protecting the basic rights of people who are transgender, but it does go beyond the pale, I think.
Right. That's not protecting of people's right of expression. That's cheating, and it's fraud as far as I'm concerned, and it's very upsetting. And that's something that is more consistent with the Democratic Party. And I feel very strongly about that. As you know, I
can understand that. But the thing is, those kids who are forget about the sportsmen, those kids who are transgender who are now going to be discriminated against in other ways, it's worrisome because that's why we're going to see a growing suicide rate and self-harm. And I don't know, and the government's getting involved in this, you know, as far as saying, you know, like in our state of Florida, they're very anti-transgender. And I'm not sure about the sports, only just generally. We have a governor who's promoting hate and division. It really scares me to death. It really does. And for teachers, many teachers are leaving because they're interfering with what teachers can teach about history. And I would not allow that to happen to me. I've already made the statement that if I was ever confronted and said, oh, no, you can't do what you're doing, well, I'm luckily at the point of life I can say, okay, I'm out of here. Hope that doesn't happen. I want to still teach. I love teaching. But imagine those in the middle point of their life where they can't really just go ahead and quit, but they're being told you can't teach about the truth about the Native Americans, or you can't be so talking about the truth about segregation and slavery, et cetera. And that's what our governor in Florida and in Texas are doing. And to me, that is wrong and outrageous.
It's a very slippery slope for sure, freedom of expression, but the special rights should people who are children, even 4 or 5 years old, be taking hormone blockers? Should they be getting plastic surgery to change the nature of their body? Well, I don't think they should at that
age.
That's
tough. That's tough to do that before a kid's 18, I think, is a problem.
I agree.
You know, can see once you're at 18, you can do what you want.
Right.
But I do think it's a problem when you have younger kids and having that kind of surgery. It does happen, and I don't feel comfortable with that. I agree.
I find it to be abuse. And do what you wish as an adult, but not when you're 4 or 5 years old. It's a slippery slope, though, and a line needs to be drawn. And, you know, people can write PhD theses on this topic, and I imagine people are. And that's one thing I think where Ron and I really do agree, and that's good. Because to me, it's a common sense thing. And just as as an educated man, my background being science, Ron's being the humanities, We come together totally on this. I don't see how somebody couldn't. I don't understand at all how somebody could feel differently, but, you know.
I'm trying to imagine why somebody as a kid would think, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl, or vice versa. I never felt that way, but again, we cannot explain everybody how they think. So, but it's just sort of, it does blow my mind to think that you would think I'm the other gender. It is hard to believe.
We could spend a whole cold week of shows on that, but this show is ready for the bell to go off. That is time flies when you're having fun.
We've gone through these 43 and 44 minutes very quickly, and it's been so smooth and easy.
So we will ask our listeners to ponder what they feel about the issue we discussed a few minutes ago and earlier in the show, and anything else, please do read Ron's blog every day like I do, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Follow him on Facebook.
And also his network, yes. And also, the next time we speak, I will be a year older.
Yes, and Ron will sound a little bit older. I've had a half birthday recently. Maybe I sound half a year older, but that's okay. I don't get older, I get better. So do follow Ron on social media, on Twitter. if Elon Musk doesn't suspend him or do something. It's Politist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T. We can talk about Elon Musk in a couple shows, too, but
anyway, thanks so much again. Had a good time.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Ron. Have a great rest of your day, and again, happy Christmas, Kwanzaa-mas, whatever it is you celebrate out there. Kind of get all the holidays together. We'll talk again soon. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.